podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. I think this is the first day of spring. I'd really like to see some sunshine and some birds singing, but it is warmer out than what it was a week ago. Let's go to God in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be able to be in your house today. Father, we just pray that you'd be with those who cannot be here. We pray that you'd watch over those who are out and about. And Father, we just pray that you find this service pleasing. We pray that you'd be with Bob as he brings the sermon and those with the music. And we're just grateful, Heavenly Father, with the blessings that we have through Jesus Christ. Be with us today, Lord. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning, folks. Please take an opportunity to look over the bulletin, especially if you would, the prayer request, and remember these people in your prayers. We have a thank you card to all of those who sent cards to Bill Clemmer family. Bill's funeral was Friday, March 19th, so continue to keep that family in your prayers if you would. And also, thank you from Carrie Snyder. Thank you so much for all your prayers and many cards. I'm so glad to be part of such a kind and caring congregation. Thanks for all the phone calls as well. So special. And it's good to see Carrie here today. She had a hip replacement, doing well. Please look over the other prayers if you would. Marjorie Bublitz, this is Danielle's grandmother. She lives in Michigan. Pancreatic cancer and not doing well. She was put in hospice. Danielle went up this weekend to see her, but just not doing well. So please keep Marjorie in your prayers and Danielle as she travels. Also, Ken Smith is in Parkside and he has pneumonia now. So add that to your prayer list if you would. Sarah was in the hospital a couple days this week. She got really confused, forgot that she retired. Just a few weeks ago, and they're not sure if she had a little TIA or what it was, but the MRI came back fine, nothing showing there, and she's doing very well. We'll be here for Sunday school and church, so she's doing well, but keep her in your prayers if you would. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about Solomon. And so I want to start with a little quiz, just to give you some basic information. See what you know also about Solomon, but what you don't know to give you some basic information through the little quiz. So true or false? Let's see. Solomon was the first king of Israel. True or false? False, yeah. Solomon was the third king of Israel. Saul was the first king. He reigned for 40 years. David, Solomon's daddy, was the second king, and he reigned for 40 years. And Solomon was the third king, and he reigned for 40 years. We call that the United Kingdom of Israel. After Solomon reigns, the kingdom of Israel divides, and we have a southern kingdom of Judah. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, takes charge of that. And the northern kingdom of Israel, 10 tribes, a man by the name of Jeroboam is going to be over that kingdom. All right, true or false? Solomon was the most powerful, richest and wisest king of Israel. True or false? True, yes, he was. True or false? Solomon's parents were David and Bathsheba. True. And when you think of that, we think, boy, that seems unusual. We think he might be an unusual candidate to be king. He had older brothers. Why weren't they considered? Although David and Bathsheba were married when Solomon became king, they had a terrible relationship earlier and involved with adultery and deception and murder. And to us, it seems unlikely that a child to them would become king. Yet God's ways are not our ways. And Solomon, their son, becomes king. Okay, one more. True or false? Solomon wrote 3 books of the Bible. True or false? Think about that. Solomon wrote 3 books in the Bible, of course inspired by the Holy Spirit, but true. He wrote the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book called Song of Solomon. Now, in the New International and some other newer translations, the title is Song of Songs, but still written by Solomon. Now, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon gives wisdom to young people, especially his sons. And in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, we read, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instructions. Pay attention. Gain understanding. I give you sound learning. Do not forsake my teachings." And throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon gives all kind of advice to his sons. For example, he says, "Fear the Lord, hate evil. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Keep your feet from evil. Do not envy the wicked. Do not exploit the poor. Drink out of your own cistern." What's he saying there? Well, he's saying, stay with your own wife. Don't go after another man's wife. Then, in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning of verse 20, he says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." Then he says, "Above all else," that is, everything else I said to you, important, "but you must get this. This is the thing you must understand. This is the thing you must grasp. This is what you must do. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Now, this is the advice King Solomon gives his sons, advice that he followed as a young king. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, we read, "Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David." Solomon started off with a great heart for God. But over a period of time, his heart turned from God. And he did not take his own advice that he gave his sons. He did not guard his heart. So in 1 Kings chapter 11, we read, "King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and the Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, 'You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods.' Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives," notice this is important, "of royal birth, and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as his heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Moloch, the detestable god of the Ammonites." Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab. Now, they built these high places. That's where they would go and worship the god. Why do you think they made him into high places? Because they thought if they made him into high places, they were then closer to God, or their gods. And for Moloch, the detestable god of the Ammonites, he did the same for all his foreign wives, all 700 of them, who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. Now, earlier in the book of 1 Kings, in chapter 7, we read that Solomon married Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Pharaoh just didn't give his daughters in marriage to just anybody. This showed that Israel has now become a major player on the world stage. This marriage helped form an alliance between Egypt and Israel. Solomon somehow convinced himself that this marriage and the other marriages were okay. Somehow, even though he was disobeying God, this would somehow further God's agenda. This would increase his power. This would increase the influence of Israel in the world. He convinced himself that this was just doing business in the world. Even though he knew it was not exactly God's will, God said, "Don't marry these people," he thought somehow it was okay. Before you know it, he was marrying many foreign women, even Canaanite women that God had strictly forbid the Israelites to marry. You see, once you convince yourself that compromise is prudent, The second compromise comes easier. You know what I mean. I mean, it takes a long time to talk yourself into that first step, which is outside God's will. But the next time, it doesn't take you so long. And the steps get bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, you have 700 wives. If you rationalize sin long enough, it doesn't seem like disobedience anymore. Now, these unions seem to be expedient politically. I'm sure all the editorial pages around the world said that Solomon was a master statesman. But the reality is, these marriages were disastrous for Solomon and disastrous for Israel. The text says his wives turned his heart after the other gods. Now, on the surface, at first, it doesn't seem like such a bad deal for Israel that he married all these foreign women. By marrying these women, Solomon was making Israel more powerful than ever. But you have to think in long-term consequences of this. Besides the obvious that they were leading his heart into idolatry, Solomon was going to have a lot of children to these women. He was not wholeheartedly following God anymore. What were his children going to do? When you have 700 wives, you're going to have a lot of kids. A lot of those kids are going to be sons. A lot of these sons are going to become leaders in Israel, leaders who do not follow God, Jehovah. And the next thing you know, Israel is run by a generation of people who are not devoted to God. In fact, that's what happened with Solomon's son, Rehoboam, who is going to take over after he dies. Rehoboam's mother was an Ammonite. She came from a nation which God said, you can't marry people from that nation. She was an idolater, and so was Rehoboam. Solomon did not change her heart. He did not lead her in the right relationship to God. She changed his heart and led him to worship false gods. And now Rehoboam, David's grandson, just the second king after David, of course, he leads the people of Judah into idolatry. So this is tragic because Solomon started out so good. He started out so humble. He started out wanting good not just for himself, but he wanted good for the whole nation. He sacrificed to God. And a sacrifice he made at the beginning was not a typical sacrifice. He made 1,000 sacrifices. And of course, there was a picnic in Israel because he had all this meat. But he made 1,000 sacrifices to God. That caught God's attention. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, we read, God saw that, and God asked Solomon what he wanted, and Solomon said, so give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. Solomon asked for wisdom. He wanted to know what was right. He wanted to know how to distinguish between right and wrong. And because he asked for wisdom and did not ask for honor, did not ask for riches, did not ask for power, God gave him honor, he gave him riches, he gave him power along with this wisdom. He was so rich that the Queen of Sheba came up to see him. And when she saw all his riches, she said, oh my, the half has not been told to me. He received, think about this, 25 tons of gold each year. And that wasn't from foreigners, that just came from Israel. He collected chariots and horses, like people collect cars today. He had 1,400 chariots. He had 12,000 horses. Not Israel, just Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. Imagine that. And folks, this is historical. I mean, this isn't something the Bible just says. Solomon was a real person who lived at a real time. This was Israel's heyday. The nation of Israel was bigger than any other time in history. And Solomon's name is known around the world. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. So Solomon starts out right, and God blessed him abundantly with riches and honor and power, wisdom. He builds the temple. David wanted to build the temple. David collected the material for the temple, but because David had blood on his hands, God did not allow him to build the temple. Solomon built the first temple, the greatest temple. And at the dedication of the temple that Solomon built, look what he says as he prays to God. O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. Now we're going to jump to the end of the prayer. It's a very long prayer. I want you to see what he says at the end. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord, our God, day and night. And may he uphold the case of a servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need. Now watch this. So all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. Now remember how important Solomon is at this time. He is king. He is the king over all other kings. Every other king in the earth wants to come and have an audience with him. They want to listen to his wisdom. They want to gain his favor. There has never been a person in Israel who was in such a perfect position as Solomon to share with the world who the God of Israel is. God said to the Jews, you are to be the light to the nations. You are to be a witness to the Gentiles. And nobody had the potential of sharing the good news of God with the world like Solomon did. He had the world's ear. People listened to what he said. People followed. But instead of exporting the knowledge of God to the world, and God gave him the ability to do that. He gave him the wisdom. He gave him the money. He gave him the prestige. He gave Solomon everything he needed to bring a revival not only in Israel, but to change the world for God. But instead of exporting the knowledge of God to the world, he imported. He brought to Israel some of the most perverse, detestable religions in history. Some of his wives worshipped Ashtoreth. This was the goddess of sexual passion. They had both men and women prostitutes at their high places. That was part of their religion. That was part of their worship. They worshipped Chemosh. He was the god of war, of cruelty, of violence. And they worshipped Moloch. In worship to Moloch, they actually sacrificed children on the altar. And Solomon did not just give permission for these religions to practice in Israel. Solomon financed them. The God who blessed him with wisdom and riches and honor was the very God he turned his back on. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9, we read, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude, now notice this, this is important. Since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. God is angry with Solomon, not because he isn't perfect. Solomon's father, David, was far from perfect. But David had this attitude. David had this heart. He had a heart for God. And when he sinned, when he did something wrong, he confessed his sins. He repented of his sins, and he turned back to God. Solomon's problem was his attitude. He'd do something wrong, and there was no confession, no repentance. He just continued on. David had his faults and flaws, but he deliberately set his heart for God. Solomon deliberately set his heart elsewhere. So that's Solomon's life. Now, there are three questions I want to ask you about this that are connected to Solomon. Number one, how are you using the gifts God has given you? God gave Solomon wisdom and honor and wealth, and it's easy for us to sit back and be judgmental. Why, if God made me the smartest, the richest, the most wisest person on earth, the most popular person in the world, I wouldn't turn my back on God. I'd spread the light. Everybody in the world would know about Jesus. But the question isn't, what would you do if you were smart and rich and popular like Solomon? The question is, what are you doing with the gifts that God has given you? Listen, God did not put Solomon in his position to just do business like the world. And yet that's what he did. And God has blessed you with abilities. He has blessed you with talents. He has blessed you with gifts. And he hasn't blessed you with those things just to do business like the world. He has given you those abilities and opportunities and gifts to influence those around you for Jesus Christ. And it's important that you do, because what you do with those abilities and gifts will affect not only people here and now, but maybe generations to come. That was certainly the case with Solomon. The second question is how obedient are you? Solomon wanted wisdom. He wanted to know the difference between right and wrong. But what good is it if you know the difference between right and wrong, but it doesn't make a difference in how you act? It's not enough just to know what God wants us to do. He wants us to be obedient. That's why James tells us in James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. I think a lot of people deceive themselves when it comes to being obedient to God. I think Solomon deceived himself. It takes us back to that area of compromise. First, Solomon married one foreign woman, and then another. And before you know it, he had 700 wives. And he continued to rationalize, and now he has 300 concubines. I mean, what's 300 concubines when you have 700 wives? We compromise a little at first, and over a period of time, after a while, that which we would never have thought of doing 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, becomes acceptable. We do it. We don't even give it a second thought. Does time make it right? No. Does culture we live in today make it right? Not if God said it was wrong. So how obedient are you? Now listen, you're not going to be perfect. At times you're going to sin, at times you're going to fall. The question is, what is your attitude about falling? What is your attitude about sin? If your attitude is that of Solomon's, then sin will become acceptable. Compromising and doing business like the world will become acceptable, because you have not guarded your heart, and your heart is not after God. But if your heart is after God, like David's heart, then when you do fall, when you do sin, you'll repent and get back on track. Third question is this: where is your storehouse? Solomon wanted for nothing, but he also never stopped wanting. He always wanted one more lover. He always wanted one more treasure. In fact, the Bible says that he built storehouses throughout Israel. Why did he do that? Because his palace wasn't big enough to store all his riches, all his things. Now, he had a big palace. It took him 13 years to build his palace. But he had to build these storehouses throughout Israel to store all his riches. Now, Jesus had something to say about storehouses. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your what? Heart will be also. 5-year-old boy was walking with his dad, coming home from the Dairy Queen. And as they walked, the kid said, "Dad, why do the leaves on the trees change color in the fall?" And the father replied, "You know what, son, I'm not really sure." As they walked a little further, the boy said, "Dad, who created God?" And dad said, "Wow, that's a great question. And son, I don't know. I don't know who created God. I don't know the answer to that question, how God has always existed." They got a little closer to home, and the boy said, "Dad, how do they get electricity to run through these lines?" "Boy, son, I have no idea." And then, as they got close to home, the son asked one last question. "Dad, do you mind me asking all these questions?" And the dad said, "No, son, I don't mind. If you don't ask questions, how are you going to learn?" Well, I hope we have learned something from these three questions this morning. Solomon's heart was turned from God. His treasure wasn't in heaven. He treasured earthly things, earthly treasures more than he treasured God. So I think these are three important questions for us to ask ourselves. How are you using the gifts God has given you? How obedient are you? Where is your storehouse? Now, if we answer these questions honestly, and then we make the changes that we need to make, we can be assured that we are guarding our heart, that our heart is spiritually strong, and we are in the place where God wants us to be. So as a Christian here this morning, ask yourself these questions and do what you need to do in response to the answers you give. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, the most important thing for you to do is become a Christian. Jesus died that you might have eternal life, and the Bible says you become a Christian if you believe in Jesus, and that belief leads you to obey him, to be baptized into him for the forgiveness of sins and gift of the Holy Spirit, to be born again. If you're here this morning and you need to make that decision, we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and as we sing, if you would like to make that decision, if you come forward this morning, we'll take your confession, ask you if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you do, this morning we can baptize you into Christ Jesus. You can be born again. Don't be afraid of walking down the aisle. Everybody here would love to see you make that decision. Let's stand as we sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.